It's good to be here tonight to be part of this every member ministry time that we are sharing together as children of the living God. Yeah, it's like a family general meeting that we are having tonight, that is as children of the living God. Because we are his children, because we believe in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and God and Savior. So tonight, this is an opportunity we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord and to challenge ourselves, and at the same time to tell, to say vital things that are connected with our faith in the Lord Jesus that can keep us to the end. So tonight, I want to share with you, within the time we have, time is fast spent, please pardon me for the time tonight, but it won't be too long. I want to talk about this vital subject, about Jesus. It says Jesus is coming again. It's about the second coming of our Lord Jesus. Jesus is coming again. And this comes with a very vital question, very big question to each and every one of us. And the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Am I ready too? So recently I asked some people within the church, some of them are here. I asked them, why do you go to church every Sunday? And because of many answers that I got, I categorized their answers into three sets. The first set said, in a nutshell, said, I come to church to have fellowship, just like that. Second set said, I come to church to chill out and be with others, sing, pray, chat, and so on and so forth. And the third set said, in summary, they said, we come to church to worship God with others. In addition to the first and second set, they added that they come to worship God with others. Then for those who said that, I had asked some of them, say, okay, why do you worship God? Why do you worship God with others? And then their ultimate answer was that they want to make heaven. They want to make heaven. I think that's my stand. And I believe many of us here, that will be our stand. We want to make heaven. And as is always often said, that everything that has a beginning has an end. So it is with the world, our world. Our world had a beginning. As he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God, the world has got a beginning. Therefore, it must have an end. And at the time Jesus will come back, it's going to be the end of the world. At least this physical world that we are now, that will be the end. And as we say, we say this, it is clear from the Bible. And please, for the short time that we have, I want us to do some digging deep into the Bible, the Word of God, so that to establish all these things that we have to tell ourselves tonight, to put down the facts, to support that fact that the end will come, the world will end one day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 24 says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed dominion, authority, and power. So it is very certain that Jesus is coming back. And that will be the end of this physical world. Other things will follow. So we are not going deeper than that for now about that. But In the passage that was read to us in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, we are not going through that as well for our time. But we want to focus for this subject on verses 9 to 11. Verses 9 to 11, which says, But do not forget this one thing. Nine to 11 of Acts 1. He said, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go to heaven." So that tells us that certainly Jesus is coming back. And Jesus himself confirmed this in John chapter 14 verse 3. He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." We, from the first part of Acts 1 that we read, verses 1 down to 8, it shows us that when Christ first came physically to the world, as we all know, and he died, he did the work of our salvation perfectly, he died, and after he died, he rose again before he was taken back to heaven. So Jesus came at that time to come and save us. He came physically to come and save us, not to judge the world. This is also confirmed in John chapter 12, verse 47. That's not on the screen. But when Jesus will come again, he's not coming to plead again with anyone. He's not coming to preach again to anyone the kingdom of God. He has already done that, and he has sent us out as his children, those who have believed in him, to go and tell others. So he's not coming for any of that again. Neither is he coming again to die for anyone. He had done that one already. So, as we saw in John 14, 3 that we have there, that he's coming to take his own home so that they can live and reign with him forever in his kingdom. Yes. The question now is, if that is what he's coming to do, will you be there with him? Will I be there with him so that we can live with him in his eternal kingdom? So let that question be striking our hearts as we go on. So now, it is not enough for anyone who is not ready, because if I ask you and ask myself, am I ready or are you ready? And we have people here, now it means that are not ready. The good news there is that it's never late. It's never late. And all you need to do is just to, as I said, we dig again into the word of God. Acts chapter 16 verse 31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." So also Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's all you need to do. Don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. Now, because of our time, let us look at some five basic things that are very important for us to note as we talk about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the basic things his coming will be like, that is a brief description of his coming, then when it will happen, why it will happen, why Jesus will come back again, that is the purpose of his coming back, and then how it will be, the manner, what will it look like when he comes back, and then finally, what should be our attitude, believer's attitude to his coming again. So one, the description of his second coming. I say here that his second coming has been described as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 2 says, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And also, second part of the passage that Tom read earlier, before I came up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. Quickly, let me just read that again. It says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God, and speed is coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Now, that tells us that it's described as the day of the Lord. Also, it's described as that day in that passage. First of all, it's described as the day of the Lord, and the same day is described as that day. So when you hear people saying that day, the Bible is telling us about the day that Jesus Christ will come again. And lastly, there I say the last day is also described as the last day. John chapter 6 verses 39 and 40 says, "I will raise them up at the last day." That's Jesus talking there. So that's a brief description of what the day is about, the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, second thing is that is a question we can ask: when is Jesus coming again? When is Jesus coming again? Yeah, the Bible makes us to clearly understand that no one knows the time. See, the time is unknown to us. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 says, "But the day of the Lord, but the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." We don't know when it will, this will happen. But one thing we know is that it will happen. But the Bible has given us hints, very good hints about when it will happen. Even though nobody knows the time, only the Father knows the time. But we have some hints. So the hints we have, just briefly mention them, some of them. It's going to be like that day. We're going to be like in the day of Noah, as is recorded in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 47. Matthew 24, 37 to 47. Briefly, it says there, the day of the day of Noah. You know the Noah that built the ark. He shouted on people, preached to them, come, God, they refused. And what were they doing? Before the flood, people were eating, they never listened to him. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage and enjoying themselves until the day just caught them unawares. Also, another hint we have is that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be after the proclamation of the gospel to all, so that no one will have any excuse. The gospel must have been proclaimed all over to all. And this is can be found in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 14. It says, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Another hint that we have about when Jesus will come back is after the rise of the Antichrist. Maybe we'll be hearing about the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed." That is the Antichrist. See, the man doomed for destruction. So many people have been saying a lot of things about that, but don't be deceived. The coming of the Lord Jesus will not come until the revelation of that man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, according to that passage. Also, it's going to be at the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, it says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." So when, if Jesus comes, for example, tomorrow morning, if he comes tomorrow morning, it means all people that have died will be raised. And all of us that are still living will be changed. So that's and before that will happen, a trumpet will sound from heaven, and with all ears we hear it. So that's the hint we have about when Jesus is coming back. Now the third thing I want us to take note or to remind ourselves is that Jesus is coming for the following purposes. One, to fulfill his word that we read in John 14:3. He said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So he has said it already. And another reason is that he's coming to raise the dead. As we have said, we can substantiate that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. He says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So another reason for the coming of the Lord Jesus is to destroy death. He's coming to destroy death. 1 Corinthians 15, the same 1 Corinthians 15 that we'll be reading, 25 and 26 says, "For he must reign until he has put all his enemy under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." And that reason, Jesus is coming to gather the elect. He's coming to gather the elect. It says, Matthew 24:30-31 says, "Then we appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to another." Also, Jesus is coming to judge the world. Jesus is coming to judge the world. We can mark this one down in Matthew chapter 25. The details of it is there. Verses 32 to 46. But mainly, the judgment, his judgment will be this, as recorded in the Bible. Verse 34 of Matthew 25, he says that the righteous will be on his right, justified, saved. And the unrighteous, the ones that are judged unrighteous, will be on his left, condemned. That's verse 41 of Matthew 25. And also, 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey his gospel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus." So if you are here tonight, I urge you to please consider all this so that we not be judged that day. So that, because according to the word of God, which is the truth, so that you not be punished. Because it says he will punish those who do not know God. Yeah, another reason for his coming, or purpose for his coming, is that he's coming to glorify believers. He's coming to glorify believers. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." That says it all. Then another reason, the last one I have here, says, "Reward God's people." He's coming to reward God's people. Matthew 16:27 say, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with all his angels, And he will reward each person according to what he has, what they have done. Also, 2 Timothy 4:8 says, there is now in store for me, that's what was Paul speaking there, the crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge will award me on that day. And not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. So the big question again is that, will you be among those to receive his reward? Will you be among those to receive his reward? And now, the manner of his coming, that is, how will he be? How will the coming of the Lord Jesus be? The Bible says in Matthew 24:30, says, he will come in the clouds. He says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Also, he's coming in flaming fire, that is flaming fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:7b says, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with blazing fire and his powerful angels. And that tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming with his angels as well. He's coming with his angel. And that also is recorded in Matthew 25:31 that says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne, or on his glorious throne. Then also, he will come in his glory. As we read in the above passage, Matthew 25:31, it talks about the Son of Man, that is Jesus coming in his glory. This is how it will be. And lastly, on that, he says, it will be like a thief in the night, as we have read. That is, unexpectedly. It will happen when nobody expects. And that is why we must get ourselves ready at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 that we read the other time said, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. And finally, the other part I want us to consider is, what's going to, with all this that we have said, what should be my attitude towards Jesus' coming? What should be your attitude towards his coming? Briefly, the 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, we should wait for it. As children of God, we must wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Say, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Also, Titus 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That tells us that we must get ourselves prepared. Wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus the second time. Then we must be ready for it, as we have been saying. Matthew 24:42-51 gives the detail, but the emphasis on verse 44 says, So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Now also, we must be busy until he comes. Acts 1:8 that we read said, we must go into all the world proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Luke 9:13-18 also says that we must do business until he comes. That's in the New King James Version, puts it that way. So we must keep telling others about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus, and that he's coming again, so that they too will come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will not perish. And we must be watchful. That's another attitude that we must have. We must be watchful all the time. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. And that tells us also that we must keep praying. We must keep praying also that Jesus Christ should come. Revelation 22:20 says, He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. That's Jesus speaking there. Amen. Then the prayer there. Come, Lord Jesus. With all these things that we have said now, It is clear, very clear, that Jesus is coming back, at least sooner than ever before. Then, are you ready? Some people have been saying, I've been hearing that for ages. Even my grandfather had said it. Yeah, from 2 Peter that we read, he said, the Lord is not slow, as some people count slowness. So it is going to happen, and we should get ourselves ready, so we will not be caught unawares. If you are ready, or if you are in Christ already, you have believed the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I say congratulations, as you expect his joy and peace are yours as you prepare to reign with Jesus in his eternal kingdom. But if you are not yet ready, as I said, it's not late. And I want to urge you tonight to repent today and come to Jesus. Believe he died for you and that he rose again the third day to give you eternal life. Then ask him to accept and save you, and he will. Will you do that right now? If you have not, will you do that right now? Because tomorrow may be too late. The Lord will help us.